Good morning. Well, it's good to see everybody out today. Sorry we were not able to be here last week. As you know, my brother passed away, and we had to go down to Biloxi, Mississippi for his funeral, and I preached the message there for his service, and he was buried in the VA burial ground, the hospital where he was. And so we appreciate your prayers for us while we were gone. If you will, turn with me now to the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. I want to speak to you this morning about the most unique character of all history. And that's what we're going to be reading about as we begin in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 22. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is a great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they say unto him, "The son of David." This question here is the question that introduces us to the most unique character of all history, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read this passage this morning, we began to understand why it was preached about him that he stands alone, for there is no equal to him at all. Even in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, it says that a greater than Solomon is here. And you and I understand and know as we meet today and as we meet every Lord's Day to worship him as our Lord and as our Savior, that he is the greatest one that has ever lived upon this earth. And for you and me, we recognize that he is the most unique character of all history. And I want to read to you today and to comment about five different things that we find about him. Number one is that no man was ever born like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he didn't begin to live when he was born. He lived prior to his birth. His birth was simply just an incident in his life. No one has ever lived like the Lord Jesus Christ. Over 2,000 years ago, it says that he stepped down from his throne and took upon himself the form of a babe. And for nearly 33 years, he lived here upon this earth. And then when he left in order to return back to heaven where he might receive the glory that he had before he left heaven to come down to this earth here. So he returned in order that you and I might then one day join with him in heaven there as well. As I look over into the book of Philippians, I turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And I read beginning in verse 6. Excuse me, I got something in my throat. Philippians chapter 2, I read beginning in verse 6 of this chapter. It says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So as we read through this passage here, these verses of Scripture here, we see that no one was ever born like the Lord Jesus Christ. He was virgin born. By this we understand and know that he had no human father. God was his father, and that he was born of the Virgin Mary. He had no human father, He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and he recognized no one but God as his Father. So he was unique in his birth. We understand this because this is the only time we read anywhere in the Scriptures about the birth of Jesus Christ and that it was a virgin birth, in that he had no human father at all. Again, we read that no one ever lived like the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read concerning his life, we see that he was sinless in his life. He had no sin in him whatsoever. No one has ever been able to say that. We understand that we're all sinners. We're sinners by nature and sinners by choice as well. He had no sin with him at all, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. Not only that, because of this, he had no human father, and he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And he recognized no one but God as his father. Hence, he was unique in his birth. We understand this. We have our hymns that we sing concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. We read in our scriptures concerning the birth of Jesus Christ that he was born of a virgin, that he had no human father whatsoever. A third thing we find is that no man ever lived like the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at him, we see that he lived a sinless life. No one ever convicted him or convinced him of sin. He was sinless in his life. He never yielded to temptations. Now, he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet he never yielded to temptation at all. In fact, he challenged his enemies to accuse him of sin. And of course, none of them ever stepped forward to do so. And how different would that be for you and me if we were to ask somebody to charge us or to look at our life and to convict us of sin? We understand and know that we're all sinners. We're all sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. And Jesus Christ, therefore, was the only sinless one that was ever born and lived here upon the earth. So how different is his life and our lives from his? Then too, he lived also knowing the end from the very beginning. As we read in the beginning of his ministry, it says that he predicted his own suffering. He predicted his own death, and he predicted his resurrection, and did so even down to the very smallest of details, showing he had complete knowledge of all of this. Nor did he ever make any effort to escape it. I think if you and I had a premonition that we were going to die sometime, say today, and it was going to be at a certain area in Little Rock, maybe up here at Cantrell Road, and we knew we were going to die there at that corner of Cantrell Road today, I think you and I would make every effort to go somewhere else. We would never go up to Cantrell Road. We would do everything to avoid it. Jesus knew exactly when he was going to die. He knew exactly where he was going to die. And as you read through the scriptures here, you see that he headed right for the place of his death, knowing exactly what was to occur. So your life and my life would be completely different, because if we knew where we were going to die, we would never go to that place. We would simply avoid it altogether. And yet he knew all of this from the very beginning. He predicted his own suffering. He predicted his death. He predicted his resurrection, and did so even to the very smallest of details, showing that he had complete and full knowledge of all of this. Nor did he ever make any effort to escape it at all. Even though he knew exactly what was going to happen, he made every effort to make sure that it came about exactly as it was predicted it would be. How different is that from you and from me? First of all, we neither one of us know the future. If we did, we'd make every effort to avoid it. But not Jesus. Jesus, with his face set firmly, marched directly to the cross. Knowing exactly what was to take place, he moved forward step by step, never seeking to avoid it, but seeking to fulfill the very predictions that we find here in the scriptures themselves. Can you see the future? No, but Jesus was able to see the future. Did he know how he was going to die? Yes, he did, but he made no effort to avoid it at all. If you and I knew where we were going to draw our last breath, then we would always seek to avoid it and never be there. But Jesus knew, and all of that, he set determined to set himself for to that very place where he knew he was to die. He possessed the most unique character in all history, knowing that he was going to die, when and where and how. Not only that, we see that no man ever worked like the Lord Jesus Christ. He demonstrated his power over nature. If you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 4, we read in Matthew chapter 4, and we want to begin reading in verse 35. No, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Sometimes I have trouble reading. Chapter 4, Mark 35, beginning in verse 35 and reading through the balance of the chapter. It says, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him their other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So we see that Jesus Christ demonstrated his power over nature itself. And then if you'll notice in chapter 5, the next verses, we'll not take time to read all of the 20 verses there, but it demonstrated his power over the demons itself. When a mad demon possessed, a maniac came rushing to him, he spoke, and some 2,000 demons obeyed his voice of command, and showing he had complete control over all the demons of the world as well. He demonstrated his power over sickness. Well, we watch the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that he healed lepers simply by his touch. His fevers left when he spoke. The blind saw, the deaf heard, the lame walked. He was in control of all diseases. Jesus had complete power over all things, including death. He demonstrated his control of disease and then his power over death. Three times we see that he raised the dead to life. Lazarus was dead 4 days, and then he was raised to life. And then he demonstrated he has power over four realms here upon the earth: over nature, over demons, over disease, and over death, including everything. He was supreme over all things. No one is able to demonstrate this power, but it shows he has the most unique character of all history. Not only that, we see that Jesus taught as no other man ever taught. No one ever taught like the Lord Jesus. He quoted Moses, the great lawkeeper. And during the last week in Jerusalem, when they tried to trip him up, they failed completely in doing so. Then we see the Herodians, then the Pharisees, and finally the Sadducees as well. As we read in Matthew chapter 22, and Matthew chapter 22, we read verse 15. Matthew 22, verse 15. He says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? And so we see then in verse 15, they talked to entangle him in his talk, but they were unsuccessful. Then if you'll notice also in verse 23 of this same chapter, it says, the same day came to him all the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when ye had married a wife, deceased, having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh, and the last of all the women died also. Therefore, is the resurrection in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? And so what we see then is that they did every way possible to track him and to tempt him and to defeat him, but were unable to do so at all. Each question that they thought would be unanswerable, he always gave the right answer. And what man could answer even as he did? Anytime you take somebody into court, you'll always find a lawyer can confuse the witness. But they tried to tempt him and to confuse him, and no one could possibly face such a test as he did, and yet he won in every test that they brought before him. And while they failed to catch him, he himself just asked one question, and when they did, all of them were silenced. We'll not take time to read over there, but in Matthew chapter 22, we read in verses 15 through 46 about this. Then think of a Jewish carpenter, and that's what Jesus was. He opposed the greatest religious leaders of his day, answering all their questions and putting them all to rout. So much so that they said, what manner of man is this? He, a mere man? That's what they thought, and yet it was an impossibility. Again, we note that no one ever died like the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not have to die, but he voluntarily died and dismissed his spirit, as it says in the scriptures here. No one else had ever died at will. You cannot do so. No one can. If you want to, just try and see. Just like one says, well, I'm going to die. Well, you can kill yourself. You cannot just give up and die. Only Jesus was able to do this. All you can say is, well, I'm going to die. But if you stand there and sit there, you never can do it. You can kill yourself, but you cannot just simply die. But that is exactly what Jesus Christ was able to do. And he had no fear of death. He kept talking about leaving this world and returning to the one that he came from. He said he had come from God and would return to God. You turn over to John chapter 13, and in John chapter 13 we read in verse 3 of this scripture, and it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. Death to him, therefore, was not really death. He was simply going to return to his original home where he came from. Last of all, it says that he died not for himself, but he died for others. You and I, we have no choice about death. But he did. And when he died, his death affected all mankind. He died as man's substitute, as you see over in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. He died in order that you and I might live. And how God can deal with man in grace, for the barrier of sin has been now taken away. And that's why Jesus can deal with us in grace, because he died and took the death for us, taking sin away. Now, no others have ever died like that. You look at Moses, and we understand how he died. But then you look at all the other religious leaders of the world, Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad. All of these were just men, and they died as all others do. And their death had no effect on anyone else. But the death of Jesus Christ, it provided salvation for the human race, and all man needs to do is to accept it. He died in order that we might live. He died as our substitute. Moreover, he did not die and remain dead, but he rose again. The leaders of the earth's religions have all died, and they're all still dead. Therefore, they cannot save. But Jesus died and rose again and lives today and is alive forevermore. He is the most unique character in all history. And so what I have talked to you about this morning is an example of Jesus Christ dying for us and providing salvation for all. The salvation is available to all today who will receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. As I look out at the congregation this morning, I assume that most of you are saved. Most of you, if not all of you, have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ at one time or other, and you have received him as your personal Lord and Savior. And as such, your sins have been forgiven. You have been given eternal life. And when the end of your life comes here and you leave your body here upon the earth in death, your soul will go immediately into the very presence of God himself. And there you will live with him for all eternity. And that's because Jesus Christ was the most unique man of all history. God manifest in the flesh. And when we look at his life from the time of his birth to the time of his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, we understand and realize that all of this was done in order that you and I might be saved, and that we might receive salvation by repentance and faith, trusting him as our personal Lord and Savior. If there should be one here this morning, and I'm not able to look at your heart, I do not know what your heart condition is, but if you are not saved, this is the only way that you can be saved, and it's by what Jesus Christ did for you upon the cross of Calvary. Our Father, as we come to you at the close of this service, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that as we look at his life, we see that he was born, that he lived his life, he died, was buried, and resurrected in order that he might pay the penalty for our sins, and that we might have salvation as a free gift by turning to him in repentance and faith and trusting him as our personal Lord and Savior. Father, we're not able to look at the hearts of those who are here today, but you know the hearts of everyone. And if there should be one here today that is not saved, we pray that thy Holy Spirit might deal with them today. Point out to them today that salvation can only be made by what Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. And that today this salvation is available for all who will come to him through repentance and faith. And if there should be one here today unsaved, we pray that thy Holy Spirit might lead them through repentance and faith to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.